Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Relevant Leader Monthly, a conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant Community Church to become highly effective influencers. As always, I'm your host, Nick Petrick, and joining me today is a great friend of mine, Dusty White. Dusty is the pastor of care and counseling at Coram Deo Church here in Omaha. Dusty, thanks for being here.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, so gave your title, pastor of care and counseling, but what does that actually mean? What do you do in your role?
Yeah. So at Coram Deo Church, I oversee care and counseling. So we do a lot of care proactively with the people who are committed to our church. And then we do a lot of counseling reactively. And we don't always do all the counseling, but we just make sure people are getting the help that they need. In addition to that, my wife and I do some pastoral coaching for pastors on sabbatical, some marriage things, helping other people in their ministry through a soul care network is what it's called.
So those who are listening probably are wondering, like, why is this guy on the podcast? Like, why did Nick invite Dusty? And two reasons. One, we go way back. We have tons of connection. And I just want our leaders to kind of see the impact that you've made in my life. And then the second is we have a specific topic that we're going to be talking about that I feel like I learn more from you than anybody else in my lifetime. So first of all, how do Dusty and I know each other? Crazy, but my parents' best friends when I was born were this couple, Jim and Sally Kufall. They had a son, Tommy. I'm sure he goes by Tom now.
Yeah.
But and we were like 2 days apart, born 2 days apart. And so we did everything together. We were always together. And they lived in an area of Omaha where their next door neighbor was this guy, Dusty.
That was me.
Yeah. So I always kind of knew who you were, but didn't really know, you know,
who I was.
Who you were. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the Kufalls were a part of the church that I was a part of growing up. And so in the high school ministry, I had a really good friend, Scott Wehner, who you were also friends with.
I just chatted with Scott yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
And we'd kind of run in the same circles in a lot of different things. And for me, the thing I remember about you in high school is that you drove a mail Jeep.
Yeah.
In the back seat of that mail Jeep,
I got it for $400.
Yeah, it was cherry. But in the back seat of that mail Jeep, I remember you had a bean bag.
And yeah, so that was before seatbelt laws.
Yeah, whoever was riding with you got to ride in a bean bag. And I don't want to bring up any, you know, like stories that might cause trauma, but there is a heck of a story of how that mail Jeep ended.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah. I rolled it and live to tell about it here today.
So. Yeah. So, you know, lesson learned right there. Don't drive a retired mail Jeep that you bought for $400.
Yeah, it's retired for a reason. Leave it alone.
So fast forward a couple years, I was in college ministry and I was a student leader. And one of the things that they did with all student leaders was they gave us a coach, somebody that we met with regularly who was investing in us. And so Dusty, you were assigned at that point to be my coach. And so I remember we met all the time.
Yeah.
In my head, I feel like it was weekly.
It was weekly, I think.
We went to Razzie's Deli. And we sat there in the 1970s decor with four ladies.
And good sandwiches. Those ladies were always there.
Yeah.
And then you and I.
Yeah. They were at the table next to us every week. And so I remember you always called them my ladies. but yeah, it's just a lot of fun, good memories. But know that, like, you invested a lot in me it made me large in part who I am today. So, and then the last thing that I think, you know, connects me to you is that when Amy and I got married, you were the one who, I like to say you're the one who married me, but that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Amy's the
one that married me, but you performed the ceremony. And so, I mean, you play a special role in my heart, and I just want everybody listening to know just how grateful I am. I knew when we started doing this podcast that at some point you'd be on here with me.
Wow.
So just really cool to have you here with me.
Yeah, I'm glad we have that history, and it's been fun to see you and Amy, you know, raise your kids and from afar. I know we're not hanging out all the time, but it's been a blessing to see all of that. And, you know, I was cutting all of my ministry teeth on those first couple of years on just like anybody who would listen. So you endured a lot of rookie mistakes probably, but it's been a joy. The thing I remember about your wedding was it was New Year's Eve, right?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
New Year's Day, but
and,
yeah.
And we were traveling back and we went like 35 miles an hour from South Dakota through Iowa. And we were like, we got to get back because it wasn't like we were going to skip it, you know?
Yeah. So great memories. Just really feel honored to have you as a part of my life. And so excited to have you here today. As we look at why we invited you here today, we've got a topic that I'm excited to talk about. Back when we were a part of 808 College Ministry at Christ Community, we had a set of leadership values. We called them the place setting. But before we get specifically into those values, what they are, you know, I think it'd be cool if you could just explain a little bit of the purpose behind the place setting and leadership values. Why did we even have the place setting?
Yeah, there's a funny story there. I remember the pastor and I, we were like coming up with values because leaders need values. We'll talk a little bit more about that as this podcast goes on. But we came up with these values. They were whiteboarded out. And then they were pretty boring. You know, you're like, I'm not going to remember that.
Yeah.
So, there were good values, but we were trying to look for a hook, you know, like any good teacher or leader would do. So I had a couple of hours before we were going to roll them out to like you guys, and we needed something to like figure it out. So the place setting is what came together because there was four of those values, and the place setting just made sense because you see place settings all over, you know, every time you go out to dinner and even at your own home.
Yeah. And, you know, even to today, Amy and I have in our home, we have a giant place setting on the wall. I love it when people come over and they're like, so
what is that?
So that's kind of the weirdest decoration I've ever seen in the kitchen. But, you know, they really guide, you know, how we parent, they guide how we lead our T-Life group, they lead our marriage. And so they're really valuable. They're really important. So I'm excited to kind of go over them. Let's go over them one by one. Let's kind of talk through them. So within a place setting, you know, you typically think of a set of silverware. But, you know, for us, I remember in college ministry, we always talked about how around a set of silverware, there can be a napkin. You can wrap a lot of times at restaurants, you wrap it around the napkin. So, you know, why did you pick the napkin? What does that represent? And
yeah, so the napkin represented prayer, and the napkin wraps the silverware up, you know, and so all these other utensils that you're using, a knife, a fork, a spoon, all of that is just kind of loose unless it's prayed about and prayed over and kind of wrapped up. So prayer became, or the napkin became the value of prayer and how every Christian leader should be, you know, being prayerful themselves and leading out hopefully with prayer.
Cool. So then we have the fork. What does the fork represent and why did you pick the fork?
I remember the fork representing, teamwork and the fact that no one is indispensable. Mutual friend of ours, Joe Darrigo, I've always latched onto this quote. This is like 30 years ago. I heard him say this. He said, nobody gets anywhere alone. And if anybody does get anywhere alone, they get there very slowly and they don't reach their full potential.
Okay. And say that again.
Nobody gets anywhere alone. And if they happen to get somewhere alone, they get there really slow and they don't reach their full potential.
That's good.
I locked that in as a really young leader because, you know, that just, it, you need community.
Yeah.
You need people around you. Even if you think right now about your life, you know, if it were just you and not Amy and not somebody else and not these other leaders at Relevant with you, you'd be a lone ranger.
Yeah.
And you could get some stuff done, but it wouldn't be awesome. You know, it would be okay. Right. So we need leaders always need other leaders around them. So the whole idea of the fork was we work as a team. Nobody's alone here. nobody's going to try to be alone. And the minute you try to be alone, you probably need to get pulled back into the team, into the platoon, the squad, whatever, the huddle, whatever you want to call it. Leaders need to not be lone rangers.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I mean, I think of it like we're better together.
Yeah.
Just in everything we do. Okay, so we have the napkin, we have the fork, and then we have the knife. What does the knife represent?
The knife. Because your parents always told you to never run with scissors or never run with knives, we said, hey, you need to run with a knife because, you know, obviously that's contradictory. So that hooks into your mind, and the knife stands for or represented leaders need to run at their problems.
Yeah.
Leaders don't hang back. They don't wait for problems to come to them. If they know there's a problem, then we need to pursue it. We need to pursue peace there. We need to pursue conflict resolution. And what's hard about that is nobody likes conflict. If you know somebody who loves conflict and thrives on conflict, well then that's, you know, beware.
Yeah.
I think there's proverbs about those people. So you need to steer clear of those kinds of folks. But every leader's always going to be encountering problems. And when that happens, we need to pursue those problems with diligence, with wisdom, and run at those problems. So we always said, hey, run with knives, you know,
yeah.
run at your issues.
Yeah. Honestly, I remember this value being the one that I didn't like.
Well, yeah.
You know, I remember times where I was like, I don't think I have to run at my problems. And it was good to have the value there because it reminded me, yeah, Nick, you do need to run at your problems. You know, the other ones I love, they make me feel good. That's the one yeah. that I'm like, it's a value because I need it.
Yeah. Well, and I think everybody, you know, with these values, based on our personalities and how we relate to others, you know, we're going to like certain leadership values, and that's why we need leadership values, so that we do them all, you know?
Yeah, that's good. All right. So the last one is the spoon. What does the spoon represent?
The spoon, this one might be my favorite right now. Because of the culture we live in, but the spoon represents dessert, you know, like sometimes you get to the end of a meal and you've never touched your spoon. Like I know that at our house, sometimes we don't even get spoons out, you know? But if you go to a restaurant, the spoon is still sitting there because they want you to buy dessert, and yeah. dessert's good.
Yeah.
And since dessert is good, it can often be the best part of the meal, which means the spoon represents believe the best. Let's believe the best about one another. The reason why this is an important leadership value, especially in a church context where everything represents people, is we live in a culture that does not believe the best, really about anybody. It seems like what we're waiting for is the demise of the next person, you know, so that we can say, I told you so, or we live in this culture where we're Twitter, everything is just trying to slander everything and just railroad people. And that's what sets the Christian leader apart from the cultural leader, is that we want to believe the best.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs says that it's our glory to overlook somebody's offense. And so since we live in this offensive culture where, you know, Nick, you offend me, so now I'm going to post about it or cancel you or something. A Christian leader can say, no, actually, I believe the best about you. And when you did this, it takes maturity, but I can come to you and say like, hey, this happened. Let's work this out. I'm going to believe the best about your intentions. Nobody intends to be hurtful. You know, you usually avoid those people. So the spoon is, I think, you know, not to get too preachy, but I think the spoon is really crucial for the church when it comes to a leadership value.
That is so good. I'm going to remember that. It's glory to overlook offense. You know, I that is not the world we live in.
No.
And it definitely, you know, for Amy and I say that these values still guide our marriage. This is the one that one of us will be kind of getting frustrated with someone.
Yeah.
And the other one will kind of elbow them and say, hey, believe the best.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, yeah. I want to believe the best because it isn't natural. It isn't what we do. And so having that as a value makes a big difference.
Yeah. And I think there's reasons for this, especially, you know, this is really important for, I think, relevant church and your leaders, you know, this younger church where you're trying to reach the next generation. There's reasons why I think our culture right now can't believe the best about anybody. I think post-COVID, I think post-2016, I think post a bunch of racial stuff that we've had to live through and lead through. There's just a ton of reasons why we've been in this cultural storm of not believing the best about one another. And that is really sad, but I think also an opportunity for the church, especially church leaders, to be an example of, no, I'm actually going to lean into this. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to choose to work these things out. And you're an image bearer of God. I'm an image bearer of God. I need you to believe the best about me, even when I'm screwing up, you know? So, I think this is a huge opportunity for us.
Cool. Well, real quick, let me just sum up the place setting, you know, the napkin, we wrap everything we do in prayer. The fork, no one is indispensable. We need everybody. We have to work together. The knife, we run at our problems. We don't let things go. We don't hope they just disappear. We do something about it as leaders. And then the spoon, we believe the best in people. You know, those are four values that honestly have, I mean, I don't even know how long ago it was that we were in that college ministry, but it was probably
at least
20 years
ago.
Yeah. And, you know, those still guide, those four things still guide when I walk into a room, you know, what I'm thinking, what I want to do, what I want to represent. And really, you know, I heard it said one time that, you know, real simply put, values are the things that we value the most.
Yeah.
You know, and so if these are the things that I value the most, they're going to guide who I am. They're going to guide how I lead. They're going to guide the influence I have on other people. And you know, when I think about it personally, I'm like, these are the things I want to say are true about my kids. So,
yeah.
So, as we talk about leadership values, you know, I think it's really important that we just kind of start with the benefits of having leadership values. You know, Dusty, why are leadership values so important?
Yeah, I think leadership values are important because, you know, every organization, every business, hopefully every church, you know, you can get into like vision statements and statements of faith and all of these things. I like leadership values. We have some family values at our home too. I like values because for the reasons that we just said, there's certain things that are going to come natural to me. But like when you're saying like, yeah, the knife was the one I didn't like, you know, mm-hmm. That's why it needs to be a leadership value, because you're not going to naturally drift towards that. Nobody's like, you know, what I want to do is just kind of run at my issues. You know, nobody does that. But if it's a leadership value and I choose to adhere that into my life, you know, and I'm picking that and I'm saying, no, I'm going to lead myself. I'm going to lead with others and our organization's going to lead this way, whatever the case, then that becomes a type of culture. And so we have to have something that guides us.
Yeah.
Otherwise we're going to just drift towards being conflict avoiders, or we're going to drift towards, you know, maybe our culture becomes one where we're just like ready for the shoe to drop, where we're not going to be able to believe the best about somebody, or maybe we're going to be prayerless, you know?
Yeah.
It's easy for churches to be prayerless.
Sure.
I'm constantly reminding myself, my wife will say to me all the time, hey, did you pray about that? And I'm like, well, no, I'm like fretting about it and strategizing about it. I'm not praying about it. You know, that I don't know what to do about that. Yeah. I can't control prayer. Right. So like, that's why it has to be a value. So we have to have leadership values because we have to have something to guide us. And so that's why, you know, they're important.
Yeah. You know, a couple things I thought of when I was putting this together is that, you know, everyone is working together towards the same goal. When we have leadership values, we know the person to our right, what they're going to be valuing. We know what's going to be important to them. And so it just helps us work together better as a team. I think about pretty much every athletic team that is really good, and you look at their head coach and they're not really doing a whole lot.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, why are they not doing a lot? Because he's already done the work. You know, he has other coaches or he has players or whatever who are repeating the values.
Right.
Who are saying what's most important.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is just with values, we know what success is. I think so often, especially in the church world, we're like, why do we do that? Well, because we're a church. Like, isn't that enough of a reason? And it's like, well, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I got this group together. I guess we're supposed to read the Bible. Like, I don't know what we're trying to accomplish here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, values help us know what success is. So
yeah.
Those are just a few additional things I thought of when we were thinking of this. But, you know, we talk about leadership values. What are some of the things you've seen happen without leadership values?
Oh, man. Lots of things. Number one, when we don't have leadership values, like I said a moment ago, there's just kind of this, like, you're like a ship without a rudder. You're a ship, but you're just floating around and hoping you make it somewhere and get to the other side. But it's hard to get to your destination. It's hard to reach your goals when there's no values in place. So, and I've also seen, especially churches, they try to value everything. So by not having leadership values, they just want to do it all. And I think that's not helping people.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is why there's other churches, you know? That's why there's Relevant Church, and that's why there's the church across the street and the church I'm at, because different leaders and different cultures value different things. And, I think it's okay to say, hey, we have this intrinsic value towards this thing, and we're going to head that way. We think you should, based on how the conversation's going, we know these people, and we think you would thrive there, you know? So without having leadership values, we don't always know where we're going, and they help define us. And I think some churches don't want to have them because they don't want to, you know, push anybody out, or they don't want to say no, or they don't want to, like, be so accommodating, you know? And so I just think it's important. We can't do it all, I guess, is another way of saying it. And when we don't have leadership values, we're kind of acting like we can just do it all.
And we try to do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can think of a church that I was a part of that really had no values. I remember the lead pastor saying, we're going to just take whatever God brings us, and then we're going to manage that.
Yeah.
And that was the strategy. And I love the church. I love the people that were a part of it. But I look back and I'm like, I don't know what we accomplished.
Right.
I don't know what, and, you know, what we value here at Relevant is transformation in people's lives.
Yeah.
And so, and I look back and I'm like, did we see a lot of transformation and happen in people's lives? And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know. We met every Sunday.
Right.
But I don't know what we valued. So I didn't know. And I think sometimes we assume, like, well, we know what the values are because they're Christian values.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, well, what does that mean to you?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to mean something different to you than it's going to mean to me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, definitely.
And I just think, you know, like, to that example that you just gave, if I'm going to just take whatever the Lord gives me, which is not necessarily terrible, you know, it's a good and godly thing.
Well, we want to do that in addition.
Yeah.
For
sure. We want to be adaptable and spirit led and trust the sovereignty of God along the way. But really what I'm saying there is I don't really know, so I'm just going to be reactive.
Yeah.
And so I value reactivity. Well, you're probably going to love people well initially, but it's going to be hard to get them where they need to go because you can't live in reactivity all the time and be healthy.
Yeah. So we've got about 250 leaders at Relevant who are either leading some form of team or some form of group. You know, we've talked about the importance of leadership values, but what do our leaders do? What do they need to keep in mind? How do they go about either forming leadership values? Do you just, I mean, you said that's why we have different churches, is because we all have different things that we value. I think of here at Relevant, we have, for our paid staff, we have what we call paid staff behaviors.
Yeah.
And the reality is they're the things that we value. But they're not the things that we value in every area.
You know? Like what you value here is the Broncos. I saw that.
Yeah, that's Ronnie. I don't know that the rest of us would value that, but yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, there's things to keep in mind. These are what are important. So we know when we're going into it, this is how we're going to act. This is what we're going to focus on. This is what we're going to do. So what would you say to the leader who's listening, wants to go about valuing something? Yeah. How do I know what I value? How do I set them up? How do I determine?
Yeah, that's absolutely possibly happening. You know, it's absolutely possibly happening. Does anybody ever say that? It's probably happening. As you're listening, you're like, oh, this is a good idea. I should get some values. I would say just start with these. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So one thing you could do is just, you know, talk with Nick Moore, rip these off, you know, use the place setting if that's helpful. I always say that also, like when JC and I do a marriage conference or a parenting conference or anything, we have some family values. And I just always say like, hey, just start here. Like just, you know, if you want some values, use these. You know?
I was going to ask, what are those family values?
Well, that's a different thing. But so we use these a lot more. You know, we have 6 children. So ages 19, one's in college now, ages 19 down to 8. And so we use these family values. The first value is that God comes first. Secondly, he can change everything. Third, we need him. And so that's kind of those first three have to do with God, yeah, our Godward orientation. And then the next three have to do with how we relate, not necessarily just to God, but here on earth. So the fourth one is obey authority. Fifth one is respect mom and dad. And then the sixth one is love other people as much as you love yourself. So unfortunately, you can't remember those because they don't have a cool thing like the place setting. But those are like beat into us,
yeah,
at our house. And we do everything with those. We discipline according to them. We talk about sibling rivalry according to those. We're always talking about those because they're just important. So I always say like at a parenting thing, hey, just rip these off, adapt them, you know, move about, yep, them. They're very practical. They're big enough for me, like respecting mom and dad.
Yeah.
We don't have time to get into my story, but that was hard for me. And so that one's there just as much for me as it was, as it is for my kids.
Yeah. And I think it's important to point out, you know, in different, like you already said, in different situations, it's going to call for different values, different things, and that's okay. You know, I this last week on social media, one of our leaders, Chris Holder, he posted a picture of these value cards, is what they were called.
Yeah.
And so he just posted and said, these are the Holder's family values, and they were faith, growth, loyalty, happiness, leadership, and integrity. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome that he can know, like, these are things we want to go after. And and they're good. It doesn't mean that there's a right set of values. I love the idea of, like, you know, learn from others. Don't try to create your own wheel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's got to fit your situation.
Right.
So, all right. So, you know, I'm thinking about the people listening. I'm thinking of each one of you, and I want to challenge you. You know, when you think about leadership values, I would love it if each one of our leaders spent 30 minutes at some point over the next week to think through what you value in your specific area of leadership. As we move into 2023, I think it's important that we all kind of take a look at where we're at, a gauge of where we're at, and try to figure out, you know, what are the things that I really want to value? How do I want to be different this year? What are the things I want to accomplish? You know, some of you are going to be leading a group. Some of you are going to be leading a team. You might have different values. And I thought about this as we were preparing this, like, is this something that we want to make the place setting relevant leadership values? And I thought, you know, that's not the direction I want to go, because it's not always a one size fits all.
Right. Yeah,
definitely good values. Like I said, my family has largely based what we do off of these values. And some of that just had to do with the fact that Amy and I were both serving in the college ministry at the same time when we were taught these values. And I don't think we had values.
Yeah, right.
To live by. And so we were inspired by the idea of having something to live by.
And most of us don't have values until we start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the values come about based on, like, what am I mostly convicted about?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the scripture calling me to?
Yeah, that's good. So, you know, as everybody's thinking about what they value, what do you want the values that you lead by to be? I'd say write down 3 to 5, either words, 3 to 5 sentences, that you really would love to be some leadership values for you. You know, it can look like anything. Dusty, you got 6 for your family.
Yeah, that's a little much, by the way.
You know, our paid staff, we have 12. Because
12 is,
you know,
a lot.
We want to do everything better than everybody else.
You're going to have like the dessert fork and the dessert plate. And yeah, I don't know what you're going to do to remember all that.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things we do to remember them is we make them memorable. We make them portable. We can pick them up, take them with us. We can kind of like the place setting. Like, it's easy to remember a napkin, a fork, a knife, and a spoon. And so, you know, making them memorable is definitely something that will really help. And then I challenge everybody to keep those values in front of you, whether it's writing them down on a card, putting it somewhere that you're going to run into it, see it. Values won't happen just because we want them to and just because we spend 30 minutes writing them down one time. Values have to be something that you see constantly. They have to be something that that you live out too. They have to be something that, you know, like you said, I didn't like the running with the knife, running at our problems. Well, it didn't become a part of who I am until I ran at my problems.
Yeah, right.
A bunch of times over and over. So, you know, keep those in front of you. So figure out what your next step is, and I challenge you to take that next step, because as we always say, great leaders are the hope of the church. So let's not just be leaders, let's be great leaders. Dusty, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. It was a lot of fun, you know, having you on here. It was fun just being with you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
So thank you so much. And then for all of our listeners, make sure to follow the Relevant Leader Monthly, whatever platform that you're listening to, so that you can get a notification when the podcast is available every month. We post a new podcast the last Friday of every month. So make sure that you're taking the time to listen to them. Might be a car ride, might be when you're working out, whatever. But we need to equip ourselves as leaders. And so take the time, put the effort in, because the people in your group, the people on your team, they matter, and their transformation is going to be determined by our influence as leaders. So don't forget to join us again next month on another conversation to help all of us become leaders who are highly effective influencers.